Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through chapter 2, verse 3, and is found on page 1473 in your pew Bible. Now that by your obedience to the truth you have purified yourselves and have come to have a sincere love for other believers, love one another earnestly with all your heart. For through the living and eternal word of God, you have been born again as the children of a parent who is immortal, not mortal. As the scripture says, all human beings are like grass, and their glory is like wildflowers. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This word is the good news that was proclaimed to you. Rid yourselves then of all evil, no more lying or hypocrisy or jealousy or insulting language. Be like newborn babies, always thirsty for the pure spiritual milk, so that by drinking it you may grow up and be saved. As the scripture says, you have found out for yourselves how kind the Lord is.
I think some of the largest aspects of my own personal growth has happened in community with you guys. Being your pastor and being in relationship with you, being welcomed and affirmed to think and to believe and to learn and to grow and to share life with you has been profoundly transformative for me in my faith journey, as well as in my marriage and my parenting and just socially at large. Several of the component parts in helping me do that is that you welcome me to think. You welcome me to step back and look from perspective and try to gain understanding and wisdom, some sort of cognitive understanding to give myself and us a handle of where we are in the journey of life and how we got here. And so in the book of 1 Peter, I think that we would be amiss if we didn't stop and think a little bit about ourselves and about Peter from stepping back and trying to gain some sort of perspective. And so through the years, you've heard me talk a lot about my family of birth, my family of origin, who my parents are, where my parents are from, where I was born, how I was raised, all of that stuff within my family of origin. And I hope that it has invited you to do the exact same thing about yourself. For you to stop and ask the question, who am I? Where do I come from? Who are my parents? How have they influenced my life? You know, we call it a primal imprint, that a child is born into this world in those early years are the primal imprint on the child's mind and heart and life. And for the rest of their lives, they're interacting with that primal imprint. Let me repeat that so you can think about you. The first 6 to 10 years of your life put imprints on your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit that as you sit here today, you're still interacting with. And so when you hear Father's Day, your primal imprint of Father is there. It's in you. Your idea of Father came from a male touching your heart and your life those first 6 to 10 years of life, and you got this imprint of what Father is. And so it begins in conception. Now we know the listening that goes on in the womb is forming the child. If mom is at peace, if mom's listening to music, if mom is safe, if baby's getting read to, if daddy is talking to baby, there is this peace within the womb that the child is nurtured in within mom. And that carries over into early childhood experiences in the home. If there's love, if there's nurture, if there's peace, these are the primal imprints in the child's beginning of entering life. If there's violence, if there's screaming, if there's fighting, if there's abuse, these are the primal imprints that happen in the child's heart and life? Is dad present or is dad absent? Is dad angry or is dad kind? Is dad abusive or is dad cuddling and comforting? All of those things are the primal imprint of a child's heart and a child's life that we carry with us into adulthood and we're always interacting with. We're always aware of, even if we're not cognitively aware, our soul is aware and we're behaving certain ways because of that primal imprint. So that is the core primal imprint, but we're also a part of a culture. We're Americans. We live in Ohio, in the Midwest, or wherever you were born and raised. And so I can still remember when our oldest daughter, Teresa, came home from school, and I said something to her, and she said, "But my teacher said." So then other layers begin to enter in, and dad is no longer on the top of the pyramid. But teacher now is up there on the top of the pyramid, and what teacher says carries authority and carries weight, and it's worthy of challenging mom and dad because teacher says. And then we gain an education and we gain a footing, and a coach says, or a music instructor says, or an art instructor or soccer coach, and we get all of these layers in community that we begin to interact with and compare and contrast with. And we may say things like, "I wish so-and-so was my dad," or "I wish my dad behaved this way," or "I wish this," or "I wish that," right? We have the primal imprint of what we've got, and then we become aware of what's around us, and we begin to interact with comparing and contrasting and coveting and wishing. Or, and that's in an unhealthy way, a selfish way, but then there's a yearning for safety and love and protection and nurture way as well. And so we begin to become aware of differences within the greater culture, and then, of course, we find our place in history. So we become aware of the past and how things used to be, maybe how mom and dad had it, how maybe grandma and grandpa had it, or how things used to be in the past, and we find our place in the present, and that becomes yet another layer of our understanding of life. Again, it could be jealousies. We could be jealous of others in the past that had more than us, or better than us, or different than us, or we could become grateful and say, "Wow, praise God for air conditioning," right? Yeah, air conditioning's nice. Ours went out. Steve came over and bailed us out. Air conditioning is nice. Even though I was raised without it, I sure do like it. So there's things you come to appreciate as you find your place in history and how things have changed. For those of us who were raised affiliated with a church, or at least God language was a part of it, God comes into this whole mixture of things. And we begin by thinking in terms of what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, what's healthy and what's unhealthy. And as a child, dad is often compared with God. It was funny, by the way, sometimes God's a woman, if you heard the child. Who tells dad what to do? Mom? That's... We're going to get to there in a minute in the Trinity, but anyway. It is interesting that in a child's mind, most of the time, the father figure is associated with God. God image is often imprinted on a child's mind from male presence in a child's life. Of course, historically, most pastors were males as well. Statistically, they still are today, but not exclusively. And so this God image often has been wedded to the man of the house. Is God active or passive? Is God loving and kind, or is God argumentative and cruel? Is God abusive, or is God forgiving? Is God present, or is God absent? Is God happy to see me, or does God disappear and hide from me? All of these things become primal imprints on a child's heart and life as they grow into life and begin experiencing God at some level in their mind and their understanding. These are layers that are in all of our lives, all of our experiences. And struggling through that, I would argue, is a very healthy and necessary part of our spiritual growth and development. To face who I am and how I got here is a very healthy and good thing to do in spiritual growth and maturity. And I would argue that that is much of what Peter is saying here in this scripture. If you didn't notice the language that Peter used, he talks about God as Father. He talks about the Holy Spirit as bearing us again. We are born again. You have mother-father imagery in the Trinity of this Godhead that we are invited to be a part of. This Creator God, the first image of God, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, is a mother hen sitting on a nest. So this feminine birthing metaphor, God birthed creation. He nurtured creation. In Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." In the image of God, we are created and made. This Trinitarian unity has embraced us as a part of it. When we sinned in Genesis 3:22, God says, man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. There is this interplay between us as God's creation, us as God's children, and this nurturing, loving heart of God manifest in the Trinity that we are invited to be a part of. And our experience on this earth often complicates the reality of the love of the Trinity for us. And these experiences within the home, where we're originally designed and created that a man and a woman come together in love and procreate a child and raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that there is this beautiful wholeness in the child's life, the truth is none of us have experienced that. Some of us have bigger wounds than others, but none of us have known perfect love, perfect wholeness, perfect beauty. All of us have been tainted by the mistakes of our parents and our community and our world. And in our pain and in our confusion, there's been issues between us and God in light of that, issues between us and one another and the struggle. And Peter himself experienced that. You realize that this is written 30 years 32 years after Peter experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 32 years to work through some of this stuff for the Apostle Peter. And so he is taking what he has learned, and we've already talked about his mistakes and the struggles and the layers that were in his life. 32 years, and now he can articulate Father God, unity of the Spirit, love of the Son, inviting and embracing us to be born again, to be born anew out of the loving, compassionate heart of God. And I realize that in our world today, there's a lot of churches that don't like to pray the Our Father. It's too sexist. It's patriarchal. You guys, I think we avoid it at our own peril. It's not there by mistake. It's there because God knows that all of us in our primal experiences have been wounded by father and wounded by mother, and that it is necessary for us to be healed by our heavenly Father so that we can forgive our earthly fathers and mothers and honor them in their brokenness and in their journey of life. If we do not experience being born anew, born again into the Trinitarian fellowship, we cannot come to a healthy place of forgiving and releasing our parents and other adults in our lives for themselves to be healed and experience the love of God. We must pray the Our Father. We must recognize the love of God for us. We must be reconciled to God so that we can see one another for who we actually are, warts and all, mistakes and all. And from the security of the Trinitarian fellowship, we can then love one another in the power of the resurrected Christ. Apart from that, you guys, we can't do it. You can read every self-help book you want. You can go to counseling. You can do everything you want to do. And it is not going to happen. Peter knows that. He knows that unless we are born anew of the Spirit of God and have a heart transplant, that the love of God indwells us, that we cannot love one another as we were designed and created to do. We must know the love of God personally to share that love of God with one another. And once you do that, Peter goes on to say in chapter 2, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word so that they may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. If you know your Heavenly Father's goodness, you are able to live in beauty with one another. It is pure. It's without malice, without envy. If we do not know the goodness of God, all of our good deeds are tainted with a bit of selfish motive, a bit of manipulation. I want you to like me. If I can just get you to like me, I'll please you. I'll do whatever to make you happy, to please you. All of our love is tainted with selfish, manipulative motives. And it's perverted and distorted. Until we know the pure love of God, we cannot let our yes be yes and our no be no. We cannot live in love with one another as flows from God because it originates with a tainted self. And I am screwed up. And I know that you are screwed up too. Sorry for the news on Father's Day. But you are screwed up too. And until you know the love of God and receive that personally, you ain't got nothing to give, you guys. We receive that we might give. We receive that we might confess, that we might be healed, that we might know the goodness of the Lord and share the goodness of the Lord. And so these songs that have been sung this morning, these experiences this morning, when I was a boy, I looked at men as though they had it all together. I can't wait to grow up. I can't wait to drive a car. I can't wait to stay up as late as I want, to eat what I want, to do what I want. I can't wait to become a man. And then I became a man and realized how angry and how broken and how selfish and how confused I am. And I came to understand the men in my life once I understood myself. Being healed by the resurrected Christ has helped me engage the men of my life with forgiveness and love and compassion and empathy. Until you taste the goodness of the Lord, you enter into the Trinitarian family and fellowship, we cannot enter into the pure, healthy beauty of relationship with one another. Being born again is how that happens. I invite you to welcome the Spirit of God to impregnate your heart and your life that you might live in the power of His resurrected glory and welcome it into your family and relationships. Amen. One of the challenges that I leave you with this morning is that when you sing songs, whether it's any of them we sang this morning, Christian songs, imagine yourself as a 5 or 6 year old child and welcome the emotions and the feelings of singing, I love you, Daddy. I love you, King. I love you. We are so layered and self-protected. We have so many calluses on our hearts and on our lives that we sing words and we don't allow ourselves to feel. I'm inviting you to get behind the calluses, to be a child with a child's heart and sing of love for God, for your daddy, for your heavenly father, and let yourself use that sort of language instead of stiff formal church language. He's going to get Pastor Jim out pretty soon. Thank you. That's a God thing, you guys. To let yourself be that little baby and praise God. Get behind the calluses. Let him touch that tender heart with Father God hands and heal you and love on you and us respond and welcome that. Let's pray. God, you are active from the youngest to the oldest and everybody in between. You love us and welcome us into your fellowship. May we respond. May we take your hand and be led. Welcome you deep into our hearts and lives. Know your love and live your love in community with one another. In the name of Jesus, we have gathered and pray. Amen.